kids can be excused. So, how do you know when a person is out of his mind? What if that person behaves like nobody else behaves? What if they hear voices? What if they hear things that nobody else hears? What if they fear things that nobody else fears? What if he devotes all of his energy to a cause that nobody else believes in? You'd have to think that person was just a little bit weird, right? At least be maybe someone you didn't necessarily want to hang out with. And suppose this person starts building this huge monstrosity of an object and is telling you that the end is near, the world is going to be wiped out. You know, you've seen, you go to a city and there's somebody walking around with a placard or something, or standing on a box telling you the end is near, the end is near. And what do you think? You probably just want to walk by as far as quickly as you can. You know, I know that there were these two churches right across the street from each other. I won't say where. But no, it wasn't here. And there was they put a sign out by the road that said, "The end is near, the end is near." And people would drive by and ridicule it. And a little while later, you'd hear a screeching of brakes and a crash. And one pastor said to the priest, "Maybe we should have just written 'Bridge Out' instead of 'The End is Near.'" But anyway, so going back to our crazy man, okay, wouldn't you be mostly tempted to laugh at this person and to write him aside? Well, what if that crazy person was someone named Noah, okay, which we are going to talk about today. We're in Hebrews, and we're in Hebrews chapter 11, which is called often called the Hall of Faith chapter. It lists man after man who was in some way an example of faith. We talked about Abel, that Abel was justified by his faith because of what he believed, and he brought a sacrifice which foreshadowed the sacrifice that Jesus would lay down for us, that he was justified by nothing he did on his own, but simply by his faith in God and by providing that proper sacrifice. Then we talked about Enoch. Enoch was a man who then built on that, being justified by faith. Now he showed us that we can walk with God, that it's not just a once and done thing, but it's a lifelong experience, our salvation in walking with God. So Enoch was mindful of God. He considered God every day in his life, and God took him home without Enoch experiencing death. So now we're building on that, building on faith, justified by faith, building on walking with God and considering God in our lives, to now Noah, who is being motivated by his faith, by his walk with God, to work with God, to actually partner with God in God's plan of reconciliation and God's plan of redemption. So now here we have a picture of right before Noah and the animals are about to board the ark. Okay, now this had to be a rather exciting day for Noah. He's been at building the ark for a long time. It's commonly said 120 years that it took to build the ark. That might not be quite right. It was 120 years that God gave the prophecy that he would not contend with man much longer than that. But then it was after that that God gave the command or the instructions to Noah to build the ark. So it was probably at minimum at least 55 years, maybe more like 75 years, but probably not the full 120 that's often been said. But Noah was at this for a long time. You know, when I think about just some of the projects that are ahead of me in remodeling my house, I think, oh, I'm never going to get done. And then you're going to build a ship that's 750 feet long, 75 feet wide, and almost 50 feet tall. Okay, and he didn't do it with cranes and power tools. He did it with little saws like you see there. Okay, now, that day when he finally, when it starts to look like what I've been doing for these many, many years is really something that I should have, that I, you know, now my work is beginning to show fruit. But for those long times, Noah was probably standing here in the midst of people from the area, and they're all mocking and jeering, you know, crazy Noah, crazy Noah. And Noah's talking about a flood. They had never seen a flood before. He's talking about rain. They didn't even know what rain was at that point. The earth was in a different, apparently there was like a canopy around the earth of moisture, and the earth was watered through dews and fogs. And it's debatable whether there was even rain prior to the time of the flood. So he's talking about all these things, and they're asking him all the time, Noah, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're crazy. And so you could understand how tough that would be. You know how tough it is when people might question what you're doing, you know, and why are you doing this? Why are you marrying him? Why did you? So, you know, we all at times have these moments in our life when we might be questioned. And I think Noah put up with this for a long time. You know, just, you know, put yourself in his place. What would it be like to be abused, to be ridiculed, to be made fun of for 50 years, 70 years, you know, maybe 100 years that Noah put up with this stuff? So what's going on inside of his head? How is he able to remain faithful and to build this ark? Okay, well, the first point that we have is that Noah was the model of faith. Okay, if we go back to, if you can put that slide up, Mike. And then we're going to read back our very first verse in Hebrews chapter 11, which is all about faith. It tells us that now faith is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. Okay, Noah had to be the one before that, I think. Oh, you know what? I am wrong. I am going way too fast. You guys thought you were going to get out early. No? Let's go back and read some. We'll read some background. Just because you're sitting and God grows in speech. Okay. The story of Noah is found in Genesis, really in chapters 6 through 10. And if you don't behave, I'm going to read it all. Okay, but we're just going to read a couple of verses here to get a little bit of a background. Okay, the situation was terrible, okay, at the time. Noah, God had a real heart for the people. He wanted to save the people, but at the same time, God knew he couldn't let things go on as they were, because it says that the thoughts and intentions of man were evil continually. So the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on earth, and that every inclination of their thoughts, of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created. With them, the animals, the birds, the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. Now he warned them, 120 years before it actually happened, that They had time to get their lives in order. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. And he walked faithfully with God. Just like Enoch, he walked with God. He had fellowship with God. He considered God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on the earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the ark. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. Okay, now if we were to keep on reading, we'd find out that God gave some of the instructions to Noah about how big the ark was to be, how it was to be fashioned, the way the windows would be, and then we'd find that later on, after it was constructed, God finally came back to Noah and said, okay, get ready to get into the ark. You're supposed to, you have to load it with all of this food to take care of all of these animals that are going to be coming. And I'm not exactly sure how the animals were collected. In our mind, it said they all just kind of showed up. But it says you are to put these animals into the ark. So I don't know if Noah had to go out and wrangle them all or if they did show up. But anyway, God gave him, in 7 days, I'm going to send the flood. So God gave Noah 7 days to load the ark. All of these animals, you know, came in two by two, along with certain animals where he took seven of each so that they could be offered as sacrifices after the event of the flood was over. So that can be found in Genesis chapters 6 through 10. I encourage you to read that. It's a fascinating reading. But then we'll pick it up here now in Hebrews 11:7. This is the mention that is in our chapter today about Noah, which we're going to kind of pick apart. By Noah, when he warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. Okay, so now, first point, is that Noah was the model of faith, okay? And we read in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see, okay? Noah had to have tremendous confidence in God. By walking with God, by knowing God, by being in fellowship with God. He spent time with God. And from that confidence, that faith, he had the hope and the assurance about what he did not see. He had no idea about what this flood was going to be, what this judgment was going to be. He had never probably seen a boat before. And where he built the boat was 100 miles from the nearest sea. So, you know, really, what is going on here? He is the model of this verse. He is showing that he had great confidence in God and the assurance in God's word that he should do what God told him to do. So it caused him to take a stand and to go to work, even though he was many times almost alone. He probably had his sons working with him. He may have hired people from the town at times, but you know, when those people went home, you know, I got a job working for crazy Noah, you know? And so, in many ways, he was taking a stand alone. Noah had to believe in what was yet unseen and unknown, but he persevered trusting in God. Now, we have so much more advantage than what Noah had. We have not only the story of Noah to build our base, to build our faith upon, but we have the entirety of Scripture. At that time, Noah had nobody. He didn't even have the Torah or the first five books of the Bible. He only had his relationship with God. He did not have the Bible. We have thousands of years of history to base our faith upon and to see the action of God through history. How nations have risen and fallen. How people have been redeemed. And how God's word has been proven true for thousands of years. We have the 2,000 years of the history of the church and of seeing the impact that Jesus has had on our lives. So much more should we also have confidence in God and hope for and have the assurance that what God says is true. He was building on the foundation of his faith in a very real way. And he said, God, I trust you. Augustine, the great church father, said, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore seek not to understand that thou mayest believe, but believe that thou mayest understand. There comes a point in our lives that our faith is built on a tremendous platform of truth and of history. And there's so much that we can base our confidence in. But yet there comes that point when we have to say, I'm going to believe. I'm going to step out and I'm going to walk in faith. And once we begin to do that, we begin to understand more and more of the ways of the Lord. If we wait until there is no doubt, that is not faith. Calvin Miller said, late faith is unavailing. There's little use in accepting arcs once the rain begins to fall. At that point, everybody believes. Okay, so building on that thought, point number two, Noah worked because he was right with God. Noah did not work to get right with God. Okay, Noah did not have to earn his salvation. Noah had salvation, and it was that relationship with the Lord, the joy, the peace, the assurance that he found in trusting God that caused him to step out and to work. The Bible is very clear, even in the Old Testament, that righteousness, that salvation has always been by faith. We read it in Romans, throughout the book of Romans, we read it in Ephesians chapter 2, that salvation is apart from works, it is a gift from God. So Noah had this. He knew that he was right with God. He knew that he was in right standing with God because he walked with God. He acknowledged God in all of his ways. And he was just now, by building this monstrosity of a creation, he was being true to his beliefs. We all act according to our beliefs. Okay? Now, if I told you there was a bomb here under the pulpit, I can see that none of you believe me. Okay, but if you did believe there was a bomb under the pulpit, you'd leave, right? We all act according to our beliefs. So we need to, you know, that's a real telltale sign as to what we truly believe, where we put our trust. Even Bertrand Russell, who was an atheist, observed that believing is the most mental thing we do. Indeed, our beliefs define the world for us. Our thoughts and feelings, our actions and reactions respond not to the world as it actually is, but to the world as we believe it to be. Even more, our beliefs tell us who we are. Noah believed in the Lord, and that motivated his life. It told him who he was. He was a follower of God. He was a seeker of truth. And it resulted in action in his life. I'd like to read James chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. If someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds, Show me your face without deeds, and I will show you my face by my deeds. So the two go hand in hand. If we have true faith, it'll show in our lives. It will become evident in our actions. John Calvin said, we are saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. It's going to produce fruit in our lives. It said in the verse that we read there in Hebrews 11, verse 7, that Noah was motivated in holy fear to build the ark. Okay, so it was out of reverent regard for the Lord. He was moved by pious care. He took heed to the word of God. He took heed to what God had said to him, and he did what was commanded. Genesis 6:22 just has this little line, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. His faith led him to be obedient in that way. And it was this attention to detail, this obedience, that gave Noah strength and courage. It's actually what gave Noah freedom to act in the way that he did. 3 James 1:25. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, the word of God, and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. It is the perfect law of God that gives freedom. You don't have this, Mike, but John 8:38 says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So what does this obedience look like in our lives? I'd like to read a passage from Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 to 40. If we look at the life of Jesus, we see how he walked on earth. He spent time alone with his Father. He would go off by himself and pray and just be with God. He was walking with God in that way. But then, of course, his entire life while he was here on earth was a life of service. He was reaching out to people. He was touching people that needed his help. And he gave this kind of parable story about what it might look like for us to follow in his footsteps, to see our faith in action. Then the king, God, will say to those on his right, come to me, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of these, the least of these, my brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. This is what it is like for us to now be engaged in building the ark. We need to be about ministering to those who are around us. And in that way, we can become a testimony for the Lord. Unless it was his belief in the Lord that led Noah, Noah truly was nuts. He was filled with lunacy. But because of his faith in the Lord, he was faithful and he was a witness. But sometimes that witness can be somewhat offensive. Faith can be offensive. Faith is a challenge to others. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 here, it says, by his faith he condemned the world. What does that mean? Mark Twain, I think, had a good handle on it. He said, few things are harder to put up with than the annoyance of a good example. You know, because it causes us to question ourselves, it causes us to decide what we think, whether we want to or not, we make a decision. You know, if we were there watching Noah, we would have to decide. Do I think Noah has a valid point, or do I think Noah is enough? Ray Stedman, who was a pastor and an author, he wrote a book called Authentic Christianity, says this: "We may rightly visualize the mockery and the jeering which Noah must have daily faced as he built a huge ship. He was 100 miles away from the nearest ocean, with a ship many times too big for his own needs, and when he had finished it, he filled it with animals. Had he lived in our day, he would have been dubbed Nutty Noah, yet Jesus used the days of Noah as a representative of the condition of the world before his own return, and indicated that his followers must be prepared to face the same kind of scornful hostility that Noah met day after day." In 2 Peter, it says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Even though we don't know anything that he ever said, he probably daily had to explain to people what he was doing, why he thought he was doing it, and just by his actions, his faithfulness, he became a powerful witness to the people around him. The people for 120 years from the time the Lord said, I will not always strive with men, I'm going to give them 120 years. They had 120 years, at least 50 to 75 years of watching Noah build this ark, to either accept it or to reject the message of God's mercy toward them, that they could come to him for forgiveness and change their ways, their evil ways. But they chose to go on as usual. Matthew 24, verses 38 and 39 kind of relate this very much to today. "For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." At the end of time, it's going to be very much as it is right now, with people going about their business, doing their own thing. There is apathy and violence filling the earth. And we worry about it here in the United States, but in many other places of the world, such as in Myanmar and even in Thailand, it is a day-to-day, in-your-front-yard mess. And so we are still, as a people here in the United States, very blessed. We need to take this opportunity that we have now to spread the word, to be good witnesses as Noah was. So Noah was faithful as a witness in many ways. We could say that he was a fool for God, but the Bible says that he was a preacher of righteousness. So we need to question if we are willing at times to be ridiculed, to take a stand for Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 17 to 20, this, I think, is the ministry that Noah had, but it is talking here to us, that we are given this ministry now. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore God's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." We need to be pointing to the cross. We need to be telling people to come to the cross, and in a very real sense, to come to the ark, to be reconciled to God. Now through all of this then, we come to our last point. It says that Noah became an heir of righteousness. He inherited righteousness. Noah did not say, ever through this whole process, look what I did. But he was always pointing to what God was doing. God was building that ark so that anyone who wanted to come into it could have. But nobody did. They shut the door and only Noah and his family were saved. Paul said this about his ability to do things in his own strength. And like Noah, Paul very much had to rely on the Lord. Paul also was a man who was often ridiculed for his faith. He became an enemy of the Jews and an enemy of the Romans, and was often under pressure. In Romans chapter 7, verses 17 to 20, it says this, and this is from the Message version of the Bible. It says, "But I need something more. For if I know the law but still can't keep it, and if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize that I don't have what it takes." You can almost hear Noah saying this. "I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in action. Something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time." But then he goes on a little bit later in Scripture, and in Philippians chapter 3, says, "I need the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith." He needed God. He needed Jesus. Noah needed God to complete the ark. Paul needed God to complete his ministry. We need God to complete our ministries, to be full and free human beings. And it was a gift. The righteousness that comes to us is a gift from God. The power and strength that come from faith are a gift. Paul and Noah both had to trust in God that they were truly and fully accepted by Him. They were justified by their faith. They were members of God's family, and they were included then in the inheritance. So Noah was considered, was given the inheritance of righteousness, which is right standing with God. He was given right standing with God. And all of us can have that same thing by trusting in Jesus. In closing, let me read John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor born of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." That is where we stand as Christians. We are justified by faith. We are included in God's family. We are invited to walk with him. And we are also invited to work with him and to share in his ministry. I used to go to a little church that had a sign up above the back door. Maybe you've been in a church like this too, but the sign said, "Our worship time has ended, our service now begins." And I hope that that is true for all of us, that we will go out and serve the Lord. Maybe not quite as radically as Noah did, but if you hear that you should build an ark, get to it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love, for your understanding, for your patience. We thank you, Lord, for your desire to be reconciled to us, to make us right with you. And I pray, Lord, that you would help each one of us to be about that ministry of reconciliation, helping people in our area, our community, our family, to come to know you and to experience the love and joy, the freedom and peace that comes in claiming Jesus as Savior. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.